So I'd like to invite us into a word of prayer. God, as it is a weekend and a Sunday that we do remember, remembering people, but God, it's also good to take time to remember ways of living that truly make a difference to which you call us to live. So God, today we also remember grace. We remember the need for unity, for peace, for community, and for love of you. In the name of Jesus, amen. The ability to remember. It's a wonderful gift that God gives to us. It's in a flash, just a quick flash through our mind. We can remember being a child again, running across a meadow or maybe creek stomping. A flash. We can remember falling in love, remember getting married and enjoy our small children all over again. All this is possible because we can remember. And some of the memories that we have, the remembering is happy, but of course some of it is sad, and we may cry in the remembering. To remember is practical. If we couldn't remember what a red light means, it means stop. You may have had an interesting drive into church this morning, unless the entire way all the intersections you navigated were roundabouts. A race that will be televised today. It would be an interesting race if all the drivers did not remember what green and red and yellow mean. If you weren't able to remember your anniversary or your wife's birthday, you may be in trouble. So remember, remembering is also practical as well as sentimental. Memorial Day is a day to remember. The holiday started near the end of the Civil War, and within a few years, the practice of placing flowers on military graves had spread throughout both the North and South and was being called by many Decoration Day. Then after World War I, it became a national holiday that was dedicated for remembering those who had made the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that we enjoy. And I don't think I can be remiss without pausing at this time as we talk about remembering the sacrifice that many have made so that we have the freedoms that we enjoy, to invite any who are here who have made that sacrifice and gave their time, if they would please stand. Any amongst us? We've got one. Oh, there's another one. See, there's hands. I knew there had to be more. It's also a day upon which we remember our loved ones who have gone on to be before us. My mom is one of those, and she makes an annual trip to the cemetery where her parents and her sister are buried. And I believe that much of that tradition seems to be waning as we are no longer as often buried in a cemetery, and often as we tend to be a very mobile society and we move further away from the cemetery where our loved ones are buried. And I think it's a tradition that I hate to see us lose. So this weekend, we remember military heroes and our personal heroes. And most of all, I do hope that in whatever manner that may be, that we do not schedule our lives and our weekends so fully that we leave ourselves no time to just pause and to remember. As I planned the message for today, I thought we might spend some time doing just that, remembering one who has gone before us, one whose story is in the Old Testament. So I chose the story of Caleb because he really was a good soldier of the Lord's. So allow me to share with you his story. In the book of Exodus, we read about the dramatic events that led up to God's deliverance of the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Then the Israelites went into the deliverance of the nation of Israel, and they encountered God on Mount Sinai in the midst of that journey. They received the Ten Commandments of God, and they built the tabernacle according to God's specifications. And finally, the day came when they finally stood at that border of the Promised Land, which was their destination, their hope. That land which God promised to Abraham and his descendants, that it would be theirs. But before they entered the land, God instructed 12 spies to go up and check out this land before you enter it. So we read in the Old Testament the book of Numbers, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. The Lord said to Moses, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each of their ancestral tribes you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them leading men among the Israelites. And then further in verses 17 through 20, they are given their instructions. Moses sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up there into the Negeb and go into the hill country and see what the land is like and whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether they're few or many, and whether the land they live in is good or bad, and whether the towns that they live in are walled or fortified, or whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not. Be bold and bring some of the fruit of the land." And now it was the season of the first ripe grapes. And I paused after this reading to just imagine. These were instructions that God gave to Moses, and Moses was passing on to the Israelites. And so Moses is suggesting some of the things they may see as they enter this promised land. And the thing that I paused to think about is, you know, God already knew what was there. God already knew what they were going to see and what they would experience. But yet, God paused for this time for the Israelites to potentially go into this land as a part of their preparation. Really a preparation for just one more wondering what their faith was like. Was it ready yet? Because God knew what was going to be there. So they spied out the land for 40 days, and then they returned with a report. And we read that report in Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 through 33. "And they told him," meaning the Israelites told Moses, "We came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Yet the people who live in the land are strong, and the towns are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And Amalekites live in the land of the Negeb. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live by the sea and along the Jordan." Then the men who had gone up with him said, "We're not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought to the Israelites an unfavorable report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land we've gone through as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great size. There we saw the Nephilim. The Anakites come from the Nephilim. And to ourselves, we seem like grasshoppers." And so we seemed to them. I have to believe that when God heard this, these words being shared, that what he learned about the people was what he was afraid of. They had this encounter, and they did this spying, and they realized what they showed was a grasshopper-sized faith. They brought back items to the land that showed the land to be incredibly abundant in food and resources. And the 10 spies said, "Well, it flows with milk and honey, but there are giants in the land. We seem to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." They certainly didn't seem to have the spirit of little David when he approached Goliath, did they? The 10 spies said, "It's a wonderful land. We can't conquer it." The people were in an uproar, and they lashed out at God, and they lashed out at their two leaders, Joshua and Caleb. Now, as I read this scripture that I just read, I said it was verses 27 through 33, but what I actually did was I removed from that reading one verse, verse 30, because I think that in that one verse is what says to us what we need to remember, who we need to remember from this story. And verse 30 reads this way: "But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are able to overcome it. Can you hear the contrast? And why I say we need to remember Caleb. Caleb attempted to be the leader that God desired for the Israelites, to lead them and to move them into the promised land. But God knew that the Israelites were filled with a grasshopper faith. So God then declared that the people would wander in the wilderness for yet another 40 years until the nation of Israel, or all those who were over the age of 20, would die off. So they had this potential entrance. But because of their grasshopper faith, God said it's going to take a little more work. Numbers 14, 20 through 24. Then God, the Lord said, I do forgive, just as you have asked it. Nevertheless, as I live and as the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the people who have seen my glory and the signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have tested me these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give to their ancestors. None of those who despise me shall see it. But my servant, Caleb, because he has a different spirit and he has followed me wholeheartedly, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. I will say this, that in those verses, what is being said to us is that Caleb is someone to remember. The sad ending to this moment in history was that the Israelites chose to listen to those 10 spies instead of the other 2 leaders. So they chose their grasshopper faith. And because of that, they suffered the consequences and they had to wander the desert another 40 years, only wondering what it would have been like to have obeyed God and to enjoy the land that he promised. And those who were over at that time, over 20 years of age, they would never even enter that promised land 40 years later. Out of that grouping, the only that would be Joshua and Caleb, because they were men of faith. Oh, but God said, but my servant Caleb. And I really think that those are words to us, to signal to us that we need to remember. What is it about that soldier that we need to remember that would be helpful for us? As an example for our own lives. So I've thought about 3 aspects of Caleb's life that I think can speak into each and every one of our lives. Numbers 14, 24, God said this of Caleb, that he had a different spirit. When the 12 spies came back from Canaan, 10 of them said, it's a great land, but we can't take it. And at the same time, it was Caleb who says, yes, we can. God, he was as if he was saying, God has promised it to us, and God never goes back on his promises. And one of the reasons that Caleb was so confident that the land would be conquered, could be conquered, was because he had a different spirit. What does it mean? The 12 spies had spirits of fear and trembling, and all that they saw before them, all that they saw were the giants. And all that Caleb saw, they were all looking at the same thing. But all Caleb saw was the beautiful land and the opportunities that were being presented for them. Caleb's spirit was different. It was a spirit of courage that relied on faith. It was a choice that he made to have that kind of outlook and that kind of spirit. And it's that perspective that made him have a different spirit. This was the same spirit which David, in the book of 1 Samuel, had when he faced Goliath. For days, Goliath had challenged the army of Israel and threatened them to fight all 9 feet of him. And everyone looked at this giant, and they looked at themselves, and like the 10 spies, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. The 10 spies were afraid because they compared themselves to those giants and saw themselves as grasshoppers. But David had that giant faith that he could overcome, but the Israelites here have that grasshopper faith. Caleb and David saw the giants and compared them to God and knew that with God's help that they would defeat them. Caleb's confidence of victory didn't come from the power of positive thinking. It wasn't something that he just created in his mind. It didn't come from some glorified or exaggerated way that he looked at his own self and his own ability. But what happened was he had this amazing faith in God that made him a different spirit. It was that mustard seed kind of faith. It was that foots in the sand kind of faith. That's what Caleb had. And the 10 spies saw what was in the natural. But what Caleb saw was in the spirit. He had this vision of God. And no matter the cost to him, the challenge to him, it was Caleb was one to remember, who remained firmly committed to the vision from God for him. He had to stand up to trials. He had to stand up to a lack of support. But remember, he did it. Caleb was submitted to God. And I don't know that we always like that word, submission. I think sometimes we think that's just a negative word, but it was turning his spirit over to God. So it did become a different spirit that was willing to follow God. It was that first step that he took. It was his discernment. It was his decision and the choice that he made. And remember, what we need to remember is that he did make that choice and said we should by all means go up and take possession of it. And I think almost by the way he takes that stand, I think that also in the midst, he's very surprised the other 10 didn't get it. He didn't get why they weren't seeing the same thing, but it didn't matter because he had this different spirit that was connected to God, spirit to remember. Second, Caleb lived by faith. And speaking about him, 7 times in Scripture it says that he wholly followed the Lord. And if you kind of trace that grouping of words back, it means to close the gap. So what it means is that always in his life, what he was about and doing was he was committing to closing the gap, any kind of distance there was between himself and God. So he was living by faith. Both groups of the spies, all 12 saw the same thing, but they came to different conclusions. The 10 measured the difficulties against themselves, but the 2, Joshua and Caleb, measured the difficulties that would be against God. And they put the obstacles into the proper perspective that it was all going to be conquerable with God. And Caleb had to choose. Would he live by faith or would he live by calculation? And isn't that very often a challenge that we have in our own lives, a question that we have maybe as we face giants in our own lives? Will we live by calculation of our own minds, or will we live by faith? Caleb wasn't looking at the giants like people, like the people were doing, but according to 14:8, he had his eyes upon the Lord. He didn't have a sham faith. It was real faith. His faith was faith wearing working clothes. He said, we are not only able to take the land, Caleb moved out to do what was necessary to take the land. He had that working kind of faith that we often hear in the book of James as he talks about faith without works is dead. The Israelites had grasshopper faith, and just as the life of a grasshopper is short, faith in anything but God leaves us short. Problem was the Israelites only focused on themselves and on their inadequacies, their inadequate resources and abilities and power to possess the land. And if they had only had that bigger faith like Caleb, they may have concluded differently. And finally, 3, I think that Caleb was fearless. I'm always impressed with persons in life who are fearless. And why was he fearless? Well, it was because he took his life from heaven's perspective. The people were saying, we're like grasshoppers in the sight of the giants. And Caleb was saying, oh, the giants are grasshoppers. He was in the minority. He'd been voted out 10-2, but he still wasn't afraid to stand up for the vision and to do what was right. And I wonder how often in our own life situations, ought we have the courage to stand up for what our faith is and what we believe, even when the odds are 10-2. It makes me remember Caleb. He had great faith. He waited those additional 45 years to experience the promise of God come true in his life. We know from the story that he never forgot the words God said to him through Moses, and that when the time was right, he stepped forward to claim the promise of that land. He had a lot of patience along the way and on this journey. That's great faith. patient faith, fearless faith. And finally, as the story unfolds to an end for today, we'll fast forward. We had the Israelites attempt to enter the promised land, turned away, wandered for yet another 40 years. Caleb was 85 years old, finally, having survived the 40 years wandering the desert, having fought alongside Joshua as they finally took the promised land. And it was time to claim that promise of God. Caleb had proven his faithfulness, served his Lord for his entire life, and finally it was time to claim the promise that God had made to him. So Caleb spoke his mind, as we read in the book of Joshua. "And now you see, the Lord has kept me alive," he said, "these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel was journeying through the wilderness. And here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as I was on the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how Anakim was there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, as the Lord said." So let's pause and let's remember. At this point, Caleb was 85 years old. And maybe couldn't we understand it that he may have been pretty tired at this point in his life? And so maybe could it possibly have made sense that instead of talking about what was still there and what he still wanted to conquer and hope to still have, that maybe he may have chosen to retreat to the background a little bit more. Let the young, exuberant warriors take over at this point. Let me just retire as a senior citizen in a tent city and live out my final years by playing canasta and sipping iced tea with my feet in a pool. We sort of expect Caleb to continue on as he said, "Yes, I am 85 now, and the Lord promised me some land to settle in, and he knows I've earned it, so this needs to be the next priority for your soldiers. Joshua, send them up right away to clear the way for me and my descendants." He could have sent out the orders. He could have said, "You guys fight off all the bad guys, and you make sure that the pool is clean, and you make sure that our drinks all have those pretty little umbrellas in them, and I'll just wait over here in my lazy boy chair. After all, I'm 85 years old." But instead of retirement, and that age as being an excuse to stop and to just rest on his laurels, he said, "You know what? I still have skin in the game. I still have passion, and I still have energy left. The Lord helping me, I will drive them out," just as he said. He said, he didn't say someone else says, "I will help to drive them out. I will lead." So instead of sitting back at the end of his life, Caleb took on the biggest challenge of his life. So what is one of my takeaways to remember, Caleb, is that God is never finished with us until our final breath. He still waits for us. Maybe he's waiting for us to know him more. Maybe he still waits for us to worship him more. Maybe it's to continue to see how we will use the gifts that God has given to us. But I do know that God's not done with us ever. Caleb was 85, and he took on the biggest enemy in the promised land. So this tells me that whether you're 10, 30, 50, or 100, as long as you have life, God has something for you to do. Now, I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is, because that is between you and God. But I do want to affirm that God isn't finished with any one of us until our last breath. Caleb knew that. So when we remember Caleb, we can remember that. So I say, as summer has arrived, and along with that, I know here come bugs, you know. Here come the mosquitoes and the lightning bugs and grasshoppers. So I wonder if this summer you may remember when you see those grasshoppers out hopping around. Maybe you remember Caleb. Caleb, who was a true, dedicated, and faithful soldier for the Lord. Didn't look for excuses to not serve, whether he was afraid, whether he was weary, it didn't matter. Remember Caleb as one of our heroes. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, it's each one of us this day. pauses and takes time to remember our heroes in life. God, may we also look for those heroes in our lives that model this kind of faith that Caleb has modeled for us. And may it be an inspiration for us to live in that manner. In the name of Jesus, amen.